Acts chapter number 26, if you would stand to your feet. Verse number 24 says this, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, but most noble Festus." Now he's even a gentleman, ain't he, when he's getting called names. "But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And I want to preach on that little old word there. It's capitalized. Almost. And I want to encourage you this week to take care of the almost things in your life. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for this church and their pastor, Lord. It's a blessing to be associated with them. And Lord, we do ask you, God, that you would overshadow this meeting this week. God, that you'd give direction to every man of God and every singer. Lord, we pray that nothing would be done outside of the will of God, Lord. God, we need to hear from you this week, God. We don't need man's opinions, and we don't need, Lord, to worry about this and that. We just need to hear from heaven. And God, I pray that you would meet with us this week in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. And I've already told you I'm interested in that word almost, and that's used there in verse number 28. And I believe we're living in a time that there's too many almost saved people. There's too many almost Christians. There's too many almost church members. There's too many almost religious. There's too many almost separated. There's too many almost surrendered. There's too many, I'm almost sold out for the Lord. Amen. And so if the Lord deals with you this week about some things, I pray that you don't do like King Agrippa here and use this capital A word, almost. Because there is a big issue going on today. The devil loves to procrastinate. He loves for you to say, I'll put it off tomorrow. I'll put it off next week. Today is the day of salvation, amen. And you need to do something about it. If God deals with your heart this week, then heed to the calling, amen. In the text, we've got a few different characters here. They represent something different, each one of them. You got Festus. Festus represents those that just hate Jesus. You know, he just hates the Lord. He's bitter. He's resentful toward the gospel message. And he even called Paul mad. And, you know, they did Jesus the same way, didn't they? In John chapter 10, he said, many of them said he had the devil is mad. And you know, nobody says that about people that want to pursue money, or people that want to pursue a pleasurable profession of some kind. Nobody calls them mad. They call them a fanatic, or they'll call them a goal-oriented. But buddy, if you want to do something for God, they'll call you mad. And then you've got Paul here. Paul represents not those that hate the Lord, but those that honor the Lord. He said, for me to live is Christ. Now, if you had had the opportunity that Paul had to stand here before King Agrippa and Festus, what would you have said? But he honors the Lord. Then you have Agrippa. He represents those that are holding out on the Lord. Man, we're full of people that are holding out. And I'm here to tell you, he almost became a Christian. Almost. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Almost. The Bible is filled with stories of people who were almost where they needed to be. You've got the Israel at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. They were almost in Canaan. And the scribe in Mark chapter number 12, he was close to the kingdom, but he was almost there. The concubine in Judges chapter number 19, she was almost back in the house. The rich young ruler in Mark chapter number 10 almost gave his heart to the Lord. The rebellious thief on the cross almost made it into heaven. You see what I'm saying here? We're living in an almost Christian age. So according to verse number 26, almost is where we find King Agrippa. And he's almost a Christian, but he's still lost. And he's almost a believer, but he's still an unbeliever. He's almost converted, but he's still lost. He's almost persuaded, but he's still lost. He is as close can get, but he's still lost. And I'm afraid many of our people today, and probably some of us sitting here today, are almost saved. Yeah. You're almost separated.
Right.
You're almost sold out. You're almost surrendered. But you're not. And so we find that today. And I want to show you just a few things here about almost here. And I noticed the testimony with almost. In our text here, three things here that will motivate you and bring you to this place a lot of times, and that's the testimony of the Scriptures. Look in verse 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. You have the testimony of the Scriptures. I'm talking about Paul reminds Agrippa simply of the Word of God. There'll be things told this week. There'll be things preached this week that will stir you. That'll bring back into remembrance some things maybe God has been dealing with you about, and you're almost there ready to accept it. It's the testimony of the Scriptures. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God that it shines the light on the dark places of the heart of man. Where would we be without the Word of God? It's like a mirror. It shines light into man's sin. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible's a sharp two-edged sword. Out of Hebrews chapter number 4, and it cuts to the very heart of man. The Bible is a hammer. It can crush the hardest heart. According to Jeremiah chapter 23, the Bible is a fire. It can cause the coldest heart to burn again, just like in Jeremiah 23 as well. The Bible is a powerful, living book. It can penetrate the heart. It can draw the person to Jesus. We have the testimony of the Scriptures. You're going to hear piles of sermons this week. You're going to hear all these things, and it's a testimony. I mean, that testimony will bring you right to the place where you say almost.
Yeah. Amen.
It did King Agrippa. The Bible says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life. There was a worker at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and Spurgeon was there, and he was testing the acoustics and the sound systems that was going on there. And he simply just quoted John chapter 1 verse 29, which says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And all he was doing was just hearing his voice ring out over the tabernacle. But there was somebody over on the side that nobody knew he was sitting there. And God of heaven took that very verse And put a fire down in his heart, and he got gloriously born again. Thank God for the testimony of the Scriptures. There was an old preacher, he would go out and he'd just talk to God in the woods, and he got over there next to the woods, and there's an old drunk sitting over there, and he thought the preacher was coming to get him, and he was hiding behind the tree, and the preacher just talked to God and began to quote Scripture, and that old boy got birthed into the family of God. He'd been at the table of almost over and over and over again, and now he's a child of God. Why? Because the testimony of the Scriptures.
Amen. That's
You got the testimony of the saints. Look in verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Verse 25, but he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of the truth of the sober. Now, if you look at this chapter, this entire chapter is devoted to Paul's testimony. He's telling them, look, you know what I was. You know I put them to death. You know I was sitting there holding the coats when they stoned Stephen. You know I was the ringleader, but buddy, I met somebody on the Damascus Road and the Lord shone down upon me and I got gloriously saved again. You could not argue with his testimony. People might argue the scriptures, but they cannot argue what God had done in your heart. People say all the time, well, I'm afraid I won't say the word right. I'm afraid I won't direct them right in the Bible. Just tell them what God did for you. They can't argue with that. Paul said, I'm not mad. I met the Lord. Oh, I used to be where you were. And I used to think religion. I used to do this. But I got to the table of almost over and over again. But one day, the testimony of the scripture, the testimony of the saints, I won that battle. And then there's another testimony, and that's of the Savior. In verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Verse number 26, for the King knoweth of these things, and they are not hidden. Was not done in a corner. Paul's basically telling Agrippa that the things he's talking about are not done in a corner. You know all about this man Jesus. You know all about what he did. You know all about what they did. You know all about his sacrifice. You know all about his suffering. You know all about his trip to Calvary. Because you was there. Hey, you had a part in it. You know what he did for you. And I'm going to here to tell you, there ain't nothing to grab the heart and squeeze it to somebody. Hey, that no, just almost on the verge of getting saved. Just tell them the old, old story. Amen. The old, old story about that Jesus that went to Calvary and bled and died for the lost sins of the world and the soul. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. The testimonies of almost. You're going to hear a lot of things this week. But it matters what you do with it. Just like it mattered what King Agrippa, he could hear the testimonies of the scripture and the saints and the Savior. And Paul even told him, you know it all. Yeah. You've already know it. It's not hid from you. Mm-hmm. This is not in a corner. It's right out there on the table. It's in your lap.
Amen.
And yet you still sit there and say, almost. Now, second thing. How much time do I have, brother? I'm all right. Well, I appreciate that. The joys of going first. The testimonies with almost. Look, number second, the traps. With almost. Now, he got all the way there, didn't he? But he said, almost. Why? Why? I mean, who wants to go to hell? Nobody. Then why not go ahead and cross over?
Yeah, come on.
Who wants a better life? Everybody. Then why not go ahead and cross over? Who wants to have the fulfillment and the joy in the Christian life and quit saying, I'm almost separated. I'm almost surrendered. I'm almost sold out. Everybody's going to want that, but why are you not stepping over?
Every one of us here are probably robbing ourselves of really joy and happiness in our life. Because we say almost.
Yeah.
Right. Why? Why? You ever wonder why? Even though we know. Why? Well, look what King Agrippa did. Number one. He said almost because of the power of sin. Mm-hmm. We're not going to swing from the chandeliers now. Look in verse number 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up and the governor and Bernice. Who's that? And they that sat with them. All right, look back in chapter number 25. Verse number 23. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city of Festus, commanded Paul, was brought forth. Who is Bernice? Agrippa has joined himself with this lady named Bernice. He is shacked up with her. He is living with her. And here it is. She's his sister. Mm. You want to know why he never could get over almost? Because of the power of sin. He knew, even though everything might have been better on the other side, he did not want to give up his pleasure. He knew if he did almost and get over it and become a child of God, then he would have to turn from that sin. And so instead of stepping over almost, hard step forward and look back same time. The power of sin had gripped King Agrippa to where he will not be saved. And it's no difference for me and you today, those of us that are saved. The power of sin will grip you to where you will not surrender. You will not sell out. You will not separate in your life. You'll lose out on what God has for you simply because you come to the threshold of almost and you look back. Look what I'm missing. Really? Look what you're missing. Turn around and look at what you're missing. Quit looking at the sin. Look at what you're missing. Hey, you're missing a life full of joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're looking at a life where God's hand will be upon you and everything you do. I'm not saying this health and wealth gospel. You're going to have problems. You're going to have storms. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have financial problems. But I'm here to tell you, it's sweeter with Jesus than it'll ever be with anything else. The power of sin became the trap of almost. You know, God loves you so much that He will accept you just like you are.
Amen.
But He loves you too much to allow you to stay.
Amen. Yep.
Like you are.
Right.
As a child of God, He loves you so much to let you choose your direction. But He loves you so much to not allow you to stay in that direction. The trap of almost. People everywhere are like Agrippa today. You know you need to be saved, but you say almost. You know you need to be separated, but you say almost. You know you need to be sold out, but you say almost. Why? Because of some sin, some fleshly pleasure, some ungodly wickedness, and it's keeping you away from Jesus. This is the trap when it comes to almost.
Can I go ahead and say that no one, no thing, and no pleasure is worth that? Oh, now there is pleasure in sin for a season. But that's all there is. After that, it's destruction. It's damnation. And I'm here to tell you, maybe you're here and you're lost this morning. Oh, preacher, I'm in Sunday school. Well, good. You still might be lost. He was king, but he was still lost. But he came real close, didn't he? But almost saved is still all lost. Almost surrendered is still not surrendered. Almost separated is still not separated. You see, we love to draw lines. My prayer and goal this morning is to encourage us to listen to God this week. Ignore the traps and get a hold over that threshold of almost. Now, you said there was a couple. They are. The power of sin. The second one is the power of self. It wasn't just sin that stopped Agrippa at almost. It was the problem of his self-will. And you say, why? Well, I got three things here. He was concerned about his position. Now, he's the king. The Roman governor Festus was in that room, by the way. And if Agrippa had accepted Jesus as his Savior, he would have to face him and a host of others that day. Agrippa could not allow Festus to see him confess his sins and bow to an invisible God. You don't know what the problem with most people are today? You're concerned about your position. Yeah. Yeah. Preacher, I play the piano here. Good. Preacher, I'm a deacon here. Good. Preacher, I teach a Sunday school here. Preacher, I'm over the youth here. Don't be preaching to me. You preach to everybody else. You better be careful.
Amen.
Don't miss the almost just because of your position. Because you're no different than the rest of us. Other than the grace of God, we're all in the same boat. Amen. Amen. We can all do the same things. Just because your position might be this or that doesn't mean you are this or that.
Amen.
He was worried about his position. The second thing he was worried about was his pride. What would that look like? Well, I've been coming to church here for 25 years, preacher. What would it look like if I'd done business with God this morning? I can tell you what it looked like. Ooh, a holy revelation. Amen? And I can go ahead and just ease your mind. Nobody's going to be going... Truth be known, well, I believe this is a real tight-knit family church. There'd be somebody else down there to pray with you. There'll be somebody else with an arm around you. They're not going to kick you. Why are you worried about what somebody else thinks anyway? You're at the threshold of almost. I've got a position and I've got pride. You know, there's a lot of people in hell with pride. A lot of people ride the horse of pride all the way to the gates of hell. It's one of the most stinking things in the world. Pride. That's what got the devil. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted the glory. You see, he was worried about his position. He was worried about his pride. He was even worried about his price. You know, when I got saved, I was a heathen, okay? I was a wild one. And sometimes I'd get under conviction and I would go through this in my mind. You know what? I'm going to have to give up this. And I'm going to have to give up this. If I get saved,
I'm going to have to give up this. And I won't be able to do that. You know, a lot of times I'd come all the way to the threshold of almost, and then I would turn back because of that. Boy, little did I know. You don't have to give up anything. God does that for you. God does that for you. I never wanted to go back. Why? Because God changes that. He was worried about the price. He said, what's everybody going to think of? Look, if I get right with God, I'm going to have to tell my sister, and she's going to have to leave and go home and get right with God. Oh, my world will be turned upside down. Well, go ahead. That's what Jesus does. Amen. He turned your world upside down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you worried about the price. Why don't you think about His price for a change? Get yourself wheel out of the equation and think about the darling Son of God who walked up 1,000 steps from the Hall of Praetorium to Golgotha and couldn't even carry His own cross because He had lost so much blood. And they nailed Him to that old cross. Instead of lashing out, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, if you just look at Calvary and for once in a while and get away from you, you'd step over that threshold. And you'll never be sorry for it. I've never met anybody that said, you know what, I separated to the Lord and I'm so sorry I did it. I've never met nobody that ever said that. I've never met anybody that said, you know what, I got saved and boy, I wish 1,000 times I hadn't have done it. I've never found anybody like that. I've never said, you know what, I sold out to the Lord as a young man and now that I'm old, I regret every minute of it. But you can turn the table. Oh boy, the regrets that could be told. Because you get to the threshold and then you turn around. See, the self-will, he's worried about his position, he's worried about his price. He's worried about his price. I'm trying to hurry. And then I'm going to just say the last thing. The tragedies with his almost. You have the testimony of the almost. You have the traps of the almost, but you have the testimony. I mean, the tragedies of the almost. See, Agrippa refused Paul's invitation. Verse 30 tells us he just got up and walked out. Now, could you imagine being that close to heaven and turn around and go to hell? But he did. He did. You see, it was a tragedy because it led to damnation. Almost was not good enough. As far as we know, King Agrippa's in hell today. Why? Because he got there, but he wouldn't step over. There is damnation. You're here and you're lost this morning or this week or whatever God deals with your heart. I don't care how much you get to the place of almost. If you don't cross that line, you can forget it.
That's right.
There is nobody in heaven that almost got there.
Right.
But there is bukus of those in hell that almost got to heaven. What about that thief on the cross? I preach a message on how close I can get to hell. I mean heaven and still go to hell. And you know that thief was one of them. He could almost reach out and touch him. Judas kissed him. Turned around and went to hell. What about you this week? It is utter damnation. The religious Jewish leaders, they knew the truth, but they crucified him anyway. The rich young ruler, he almost, but he would not believe. Judas Iscariot kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. The lost thief saw Jesus dying and Jesus saved his partner in crime, but he still went to hell.
Felix heard the gospel and wanted to wait until a more convenient time come around. Festus, he heard the gospel and called Paul a madman. Bernice, she heard the gospel and she walked away. I once read a story about a man named William Hyatt. He was a 62-year-old miner, and his dead body was found out in the Mojave Desert. When his body was found, his face and his hands were buried in the sand. He died while trying to dig for moisture. It turns out that his car had broken down and he had walked some 22 miles through the Mojave Desert until he gave way from dehydration and he died. And he had crawled on his hands and feet the last 2 miles. But sadly, just over the hill, less than a half a mile away, was a spring of oasis. He almost made it. But almost is not good enough. You have the tragedies of damnation, but you have the tragedies of destruction. And I'm gonna close right here. It'd be sad to waste your life at the threshold of almost. Now I'm talking to Christians. Maybe we're all Christians this morning. It'd be a tragedy for you to live your life at the threshold of almost and never step over. God's been dealing with your heart. Maybe He's been calling you to preach His Word. Maybe He's been calling you to go to the mission field, surrender your life. Maybe there's an area in your life that you're not sold out, and you just constantly are at the threshold, but you turn around. And then maybe you're not separated like you ought to be, and you almost get there, but you don't. What is it in your life? What is it? Don't live your life at the threshold of almost. It'll be a life of destruction. When you get up there, He's not going to care how many hits you had on your travel ball team.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Amen.
You with me? Some people would follow a baseball right off into hell and they'd be saved by the grace of God and still do it. That didn't go over too well, did it? God's not going to care how much money you made. He's not going to care how likable you were and how many likes you got. Only one life so soon shall pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. Don't live your life on the threshold of almost. I encourage you this week, do something about it.